This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And it is Tuesday, right after episode 4 and 5 of Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to recap that for you. But also, guys, stick around. We got an amazing episode with George Birch coming up after this. It's a great conversation. You guys are going to love it. But before that, like I said, we're going to get into the recap. We got a lot to cover here.
I just got done with a fantasy draft. I thought this was the Fantasy Freaks podcast. I thought we were going to go over my my draft picks.
Did you really? I haven't done a fantasy football in a long time.
Yeah, dude. I did my first of six drafts tonight.
You're so in six leagues?
I am. I'm a bit of a degenerate. I have a gambling problem.
Oh, dude, I don't think I've ever played six seasons in my life. Wow. Yeah. That's almost too much. How do you keep them track of them? That's crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, especially now when we're busy as fuck, dude. We're going to be out on the road and you're going to be backstage working on your fantasy lineup Saturday nights.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, before we get into the recaps, maybe a couple things to go over. I don't know if you've seen a lot of stuff with Marissa kind of getting shamed since last week's episode.
Yeah.
Shut the F up, people. Dude. Like, let them live. Let them have their moment. Like, they're a beautiful couple. Yeah. It's really sad to see that.
So sad. And this is actually why I think, so I didn't really see any of it because I think I actually have a pretty pro-sex following. So like, I didn't really see any of it, but then I heard, like you said, I heard people talk about it and then I went to posts about it or Marissa's page. And I was like, what the fuck?
And
Riley's page.
The whole story.
Yeah. And I saw all that. And yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, guys, it's 2021. Stop slut shaming people for fuck's sake. Like, we are a very pro set. The show itself, like, don't watch a show that is literally about dating and fucking casually if you can't handle it. Like, don't watch the show then. So that gets me all riled up, man. I'm all fucking riled up. Because it happened to me too. So I know exactly what it's like, man. It's brutal. Yeah. I feel bad for him.
And the other thing, obviously, I know my DMs get fucking flooded all the time about why don't you ask Blake questions? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So I'm going to try here. BTR listeners, I'm going to try. Obviously, Blake, you went on a few outlets a couple weeks ago, talked about you and Becca leading up to Paradise, the relationship you had. Obviously, it wasn't a secret. You went out there, hung out. You guys went to dinner as a group. Kendall was there. And you guys obviously did hang out in LA. And then she comes on Clickbait last week with Joe and Natasha. I don't know if she's blindsided by it, but Natasha FaceTimes her right in the middle of the show. And Natasha obviously asks her a couple questions and she kind of laughs it off. You and her talking prior. And is there anything you might want to hold anyone accountable for?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, good question. And trust me, my DM, I bet your DMs were bad too, because my DMs were bad. Honestly, like at this point, it's just like something like, I don't know if I even want to like waste my breath. Like, I just feel like at this point, it's a waste of time, you know? Like, yeah, I listen, I was hurt by the podcast. I don't think that's any secret. And like I said, there's no secret that we were hanging out prior, you know, like, I don't think it was like some secret, like it wasn't at all. More than anything, you know, I was hurt by it, but hey, it, you know, it is what it is. I think the people, my friends certainly know the truth. I think most of the people in Bachelor world know the truth. Her friends sort of shit know the truth. So it's like, it is what it is. I think, you know, listen, I don't think the one thing I'm going to say is, you know, maybe Becca's protecting something or someone. And for that, I respect her for that. But it just sucks that like it happened the way it did. But that's honestly, I'm just never going to talk about her again, because anytime I do, shit gets written and everything, and it just gets everything blown up. Or so I, yeah, the fucking podcast hurt, and it really, yeah, really hurt, but it is what it is. Moving on. At least I know now. So fucking moving on. But yeah,
I'm just getting, as your boy and stuff and brother, man, like I just hate fucking people seeing, like, I feel like you're that low hanging fruit to just fucking jab at.
I know, man. And sometimes I want to jab back, but this time it's just not.
And we always try to take the high road.
I know, I try.
For sure, like this is, if you listen to our show, like we're definitely not like trying to spill tea and like throw people under the bus, especially like my industry, like what I've come through. Relationships are the most important thing. And I cherish and value relationships and not trying to fucking destroy relationships. Like, yep.
Amen.
There's no point in that.
Yeah. And I think I agree with you, dude. I think me and Eric both, we take pride, and BTR in general, we take pride in not dragging people. Like, Eric has seen me at my absolute worst when I was going through what I was going through. He was there for me. So like, we both know what it's like being in the public eye and then having people ruin it. So we always try and lift people up in this podcast. We're not going to stop doing that. And I think that was just, you're right. Like relationship wise, like I just never expected that from her, but it is what it is. So moving on, you know, like I can't fucking just talk about it.
All right,
like
yes.
Her in general, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, it is what it is.
Well, I guess, fuck, let's get into the Smoke Bros.
Dude, we have a lot to talk about in these two episodes. You're right, dude. Let's so we'll start with the first episode, because
the Smoke Bros
started
for Smoke Bros Smoke Shows.
Yeah, it took me a second. I was like, what does Smoke Bro mean? And then they started talking, they said Smoke Show 10 times within 30 seconds. I was like, oh, the Smoke Bros. But is that where the episode kind of started? It was with Chris.
Pretty much. Jason was waiting for Chris at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, that was weird too. Like, why didn't they just walk down together?
Where the
like,
fuck I was Lance Bass?
Like, I know. Dude, he had like no lines in the last two episodes. Like, he had like two. Compared to David Spade, David was like a lot of the. He was honestly the best part of the first couple episodes. So, yeah, I don't know if Lance Bass just got edited out maybe, or I don't know what it was. But, yeah, so Jason and Chris come down, and this is actually pretty normal. Like, you get a double date here and there every season. And I'm shocked with how that double date went down. I mean, they pulled a lot of different people, but at the end of the day, it was Chris took Jacinia.
Yep.
And
Jason picked Deandra.
Deandra, that's right. Jason picked Deandra. So
I'm kind of curious of where Chris got this confidence from all of a sudden, too, because it was like, where the fuck was he on his season?
Yeah, they even had the like bird edited being like, who's that? Or like whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, Chris literally got zero screen time.
I've talked with Chris a little bit like on Instagram and stuff, and we'll see him probably quite a bit coming up here in social circles, and looking forward to seeing him, and he seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I like Chris. Yeah, I like Chris. He seems like a great dude. I've DM'd with him a couple times. So yeah, I just... You're right, dude. He came in very confident, and it showed. Like, it showed. Jacinia, like, was eating it up, man.
And that's like, another thing. Yeah. Everyone gave you shit from years ago, hanging out with people prior. They were in the fucking San Diego group together.
This whole
season and the
season, bro. Like, the whole season, everybody's hanging out. Like, God, and I was murdered for it. But, yeah, I mean, so this is an interesting day, too, because it's like it's Karma Sutra, right? Is that what it was? It was like Karma Sutra. I mean,
pretty much.
Dude, those... positions they were in was cracking me up, bro. Like, it's the weirdest double date ever, because you're doing all these weird positions where like they were literally like face, they were doing like a pyramid. Like,
they were doing wheelbarrows, jackhammers,
the Heimlich maneuver. Like, it was just,
I mean, how are you not from 6 to midnight instantly? Like,
yeah, which I bet they were, dude, because at one point when Chris was like
Janessa
blowing
was,
like when she was
Jacinia.
When he was like blowing on her, she was like, ooh, man, she was getting all hot and bothered for sure. She even kind of acted like it when she was doing an ITM. But I guess the reason I was kind of shocked by this whole thing was because I did feel like Jacinia and Ivan were pretty solid. So not only her going on the date kind of surprised me, but then her and Chris hitting it off so much that she came back and she was like, Ivan, I'm sorry, man, but like, I'm smitten. Like, Chris is my guy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I'm shocked by that.
like, what does she tell Ivan? She's like, you check all the boxes, but there's something missing. Like, what was missing there?
Yeah, exactly. And interesting enough, I've heard a lot. I know a lot of people have met him and a lot of ladies who have met him. And I think he does. And obviously, I've never met him. I don't want to say, like, I don't know if this is true or not. But I think sometimes he does come off as more of a friend, you know? And I think he knows that. And maybe he gets in his head a little bit. But I agree. Like, if there must have been some, there's nothing, like, I don't know if it was like a physical connection, but the spark was missing between them because, and apparently Chris had it. Like, apparently Chris had whatever Ivan didn't. Because she was smitten with that man. So good on them. I guess that's like a new couple now. And then Chasen and Deandra. Yeah. I couldn't tell. Like, I think they enjoy each other's company. But Deandra's with, oh my God, is it Trey? No.
No.
What am I thinking?
Carl.
Carl? Oh, you're right. Yeah. It was Carl because he gave her the charm bracelet.
Yeah, we'll get into.
We'll get into that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I definitely don't think Deandra and Carl had a super strong relationship. So I'm not shocked on her going on the date, but it didn't seem like Chasen and Deandra hit it off pretty good. I thought that double date went pretty well.
Do you think that was an interesting pick for Chasen?
Yes, but at the same time, I don't think there was anybody else on that beach who would have gone with him. I think at that point, the beginning of last night's episode, quite a few people were wifed up, like were in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everybody pretty much.
Yeah.
That all kind of fizzled at the end of the night. Like at the end of the fucking show.
I don't know if maybe behind the scenes or if you could share this or not, but like obviously people are coming down those steps. Producers are probably in ears. They got to know probably what couples are forming, right?
So that's actually a good question because not really. I think sometimes it depends on the contestant walking down, but honestly, no. So this is a great example. Dean, when he came walking down the stairs of My Paradise, I was the first person he pulled. He didn't pull any women. He pulled me first and asked me who was wifed up, like who was in couples. So they usually, and that's common, like usually the first person they pull, they ask, like, who do you know is like in a couple? So that was an example. Like Dean pulled me first and was like, dude, who's coupled up? Just so he knew. That's a good question. That's kind of a little behind the scenes for you there.
Then from there, we kind of go into Mari pulling Kenny aside.
Oh, yeah. This was all very interesting.
Yeah. What was she doing?
So I guess
this
is a good question too, because I'm like, was she playing the game? Was she trying to get Kenny to fall harder for her by playing hard to get or did she actually want to like go and check out other relationships? Yeah, you know,
was
like,
there someone she was waiting for?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's a good point too. Good point. I don't know what her strategy was. I think personally, when I watched it, I was like, oh, she's just not that into Kenny. Like she's just not that into him. And she wants to explore other relationships and other people. But then all of a sudden, Kenny does exactly what she told him to do. And like the best part is like Mari confided in Demi, and Demi was like, never confide in Demi, guys. Demi was like, oh, you mean you don't like Kenny? Okay, I'm in. And like within minutes, she had her tongue in Kenny's throat and Kenny liked it. And weirdly enough, Kenny and Demi kind of work together in a weird way. I never would have expected that because Demi's like maturity is like a 21-year-old and Kenny's pretty mature. Like,
is he though?
I think he kind of is. Like, I feel like, well, now I don't know. I thought maybe before.
I feel like Kenny's making up for a lot of lost camera time he didn't get.
So. He is getting a lot of camera time this season. Jesus. And then all of a sudden Mari gets pissed.
I don't understand what. Out. Like as a man, a girl goes and tells you that like, so you're just going to throw me in the back burner or the back of the closet and I'm supposed to wait for you for a rainy day here? Like when you want to fire me up, like let's go.
Yeah, exactly. No. I agree. I don't blame Kenny at all. But I do maybe understand why Mari was mad at Demi. Like, I feel like that was a little bit of a fucked up thing to do, like swoop your friend's man after she just confided in you. Like, I get that. But for Mari to be mad at Kenny, I don't think she should be mad at Kenny.
We'll be right back.
And I thought Kenny handled himself well when Mari came and was like, can we talk? He's like, oh, now you want to talk, huh?
Yeah.
You know, he like kind of gave her a little attitude back. I was like, good, Kenny, good.
Yeah, the ball's in his court at that point.
Yeah, 100%. So I thought he played it well. But I missed this, dude.
They went to the Boom Boom Room?
I was going to say that too, because I had that in my notes at the end of the show. I was like, they went to the Boom Boom Room? But clearly they did.
They did. And because somebody else, I had a couple DMs being like, can you believe they went in the Boom Boom Room too? And I was like, what? Like, what? I totally missed that. And the best part is, you know what sucks? Because going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the episode, Demi ain't going to get slut shamed. They didn't even go on a date. Demi ain't going to get slut shamed. Kenny's not going to get slut shamed. It's fucked up. Marissa and Riley got all slut shamed. Nobody's going to do that to Demi. In fact, that's like her whole shtick is like her being pro-set, you know? So that's frustrating to see, you know? It's fucked up.
Really is.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, I guess basically Kenny's kind of all in on Demi now. Like, which yeah, I don't blame him, you know? Yeah. I guess at this point.
Yeah, you got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no time to waste down there.
No, there is not time to waste. And I think Mari's kicking herself for sure. She's like, fuck, I really fucked this up.
I just love that Mr. Still Your Man.
Dude, woman, she fucking swooped so fast.
Everything.
She swooped so fast. So basically, we kind of go into now the cocktail hour. At the end of the episode one, we're going into the cocktail hour. A lot happened. A lot happened going into this cocktail hour. I mean, the biggest thing was Tammy, man. I want to get your opinion on this because I go back and forth. So Tammy's seeing Aaron, right? Tammy's seeing Aaron, and she Aaron's mortal enemy is Thomas. And she pulls Thomas and straddles this man. And is just making out with her right in front of Aaron.
Well, I mean, even her approach was really cold. Like, she grabbed him from the bar and just, like, didn't even, just walked right by Aaron.
Dude, yeah, didn't even look at him. And Tammy knows. Tammy fucking knows that Aaron hates Thomas. He's told everybody on that beach how much he hates Thomas. So, in one way, I understand that it's paradise, kiss whoever you want until you're in a relationship. But at the same time, I was like, damn, Tammy, you're really going to do that in front of that man? Like, she hates Thomas. What
even
do you
Thomas,
think?
Even Thomas was like, man, you're a villain. He knew it. Man,
he knew it. And there was one point, I think, when Tammy was literally straddling Thomas. And Thomas was like, Tammy goes, is Aaron burning a hole in the back of my head? And he's like, yeah, probably. And he just looks stressed out about it. Like, Thomas just looks stressed out about it. Oh, God. And then, yeah, obviously Aaron confronts Thomas, which.
Yeah. Well, before we get into that, but I think we skipped over a couple of things. Obviously, Joe goes on the date with Serena. They're adorable.
Oh, that's right. They did go. That was adorable. They're great together. I love their banter and their like little chirps at each other. I said it on my recap last night and I'll say it again. Weirdly enough, they remind me a lot of Kaylin and Dean down on that beach. Kaylin and Dean's relationship was a lot of like them making fun of each other, but not taking themselves seriously. And I see that a lot in Joe and Serena. So I think I like their relationship pretty well. I guess, but speaking of that date, how about they spent most of that date talking about Kendall? was very much foreshadowing. And they kind of explained, Serena basically asked why they broke up. And Joe was basically like, you know, I didn't want to stay in LA. I want to move to Chicago, and Ken wanted to stay in LA. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind because I think that's going to become a talking point in the future in Paradise.
Yeah, very soon.
But Kendall's getting a lot of screen time, and she's not even down on that beach yet. You know,
it was funny seeing him dressed up as a luchador too.
Oh yeah, the whole wrestling thing.
Oh man,
it was funny. It was a cute date.
It was good to see him out of like fucking Survivor outfit too.
Yeah, the bandana with the cutoffs and stuff. Yeah, no, they're great together. I hope it works out for them. But we'll get into that, you know.
A couple other things. Obviously, Chase and Carl, and then the Demi and the cake. Mari and the cake.
Yeah, that was all during the cocktail hour. Yeah. So after, you know, let's finish up with Thomas and Aaron. So Thomas and Aaron get into it. We didn't see the end of it, you know, because it kind of, like you said, it ended the season or the episode.
That's where tonight's picked up.
Yeah, but I guess. So I guess you're right. We can get into that in a sec because I guess it leads right into the next episode. But so Demi and Mari get in a fight, which I get. I kind of get Mari being pissed at Demi. I do. I get it. I think Demi's legit into Kenny. I know, obviously, she didn't fucking bake this cake like the producers did, obviously. Yeah. You know, they went and bought this cake and gave it to Demi. But for Demi to actually put work into a relationship, she's put more work into a relationship with Kenny than she did it with Christian at the fucking Paradise, dude. Like, honestly.
She took Kenny up. She had a whole surprise party. Like, dude. Kenny turns 40.
Yeah.
Pinata.
Yeah, the pinata with condoms.
Yeah, the golden tickets to the Boom Boom Room Dropout. Yeah. Obviously,
like straight up, I think she is into Kenny,
which is kind of funny. Is like, yeah, it's golden tickets, and Kenny made a joke like if he was big enough to fill them.
Yeah, she's like, are these the right size? And she like laughed. Yeah, that was funny.
I was like, I think we all know by the size of the black censor box, they're not.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, and then Mac just gets Mari even more riled up. She literally steals the cake. And I thought she was going to like throw it at Demi, which would have been incredible TV. But she would have been kicked off the beach probably because that's like violence.
Yeah.
But she threw it in that fire, man. And my favorite part of that was Riley. Huh? Right? Riley's fucking reaction. Like, damn, I wanted some cake. Like, he was like super pissed off that cake went in the fire, dude. So
and
funny.
And Mari wanted her cake too, and that backfired.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good way to put it. She wanted her cake and to eat it too, right? Yeah. Yep. Backfired. Yep.
I mean, she's like, she wanted to build a roster and not happening. Kenny's over here though, putting a whole fucking squad together.
Seriously. She's swooping, man. But I don't know. We'll see what happens there because I can't tell if Kenny, because remember right before Demi took him, they were playing that game on the beach that was like, who here would you sleep with? And Kenny said Mari.
Yeah.
So I think Kenny's still into Mari low key. But we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out here. I think Kenny's pissed that Mari told him to go see other people. And he's just like, oh, yeah? Okay, I fucking will. Like, I feel like that's Kenny's move right now.
You don't think I won't?
Yeah, exactly. You won't think I won't? But yeah, I think that's kind of the end of like we left in the middle of this cocktail party with Thomas and Aaron fighting. And that's literally where the next episode picks up with them still fighting and Tammy like freaking out.
While they're arguing though, like – whose side are you on this? Because like I feel like I'm on Thomas's.
I kind of am too.
Because like Aaron should have had this conversation with Tammy.
Tammy. Agreed. Like I think he should be mad at Tammy, which and he didn't even do that. Tammy went and talked to him at the end of their conversation. I agree. I don't think Thomas did anything wrong in that sense. It's just funny how much these guys hate each other. Like there was a point even during that conversation where Thomas was like, I can't remember what exactly he said. He said something to Aaron. I'm just like, man, the only thing I'll say is I don't think Thomas did anything wrong in this situation. I don't think he did anything wrong on The Bachelorette. I don't think everybody's there to be the Bachelor. You know what I mean? Like everybody thinks about it. So I don't think he did anything wrong there. Like I think they just reached for a villain. But the one red flag I see, man, is like, if everybody hates you, man, that's a flag. We always say the one thing you can tell about when a guy is seems like a good guy, or the girl seems like a good girl, it's when everybody in the house likes them. When everybody gets sad when they leave. Nobody liked Thomas on The Bachelorette. And even Serena went on this date and was like, I got some weird vibes from Thomas when she went on that date. So something, I don't know what it is, but there's clearly something that is rubbing people the wrong way. We haven't seen it. I don't know what it is. I don't know why people are, you know, what it is. But for me, if literally everybody has something bad to say about you, like that's a red flag to me, you know? So we'll see. I mean, listen, I don't think Thomas has done anything wrong on camera from The Bachelorette to now. So we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, that's the only thing I have to say. Because, like, if everybody freaking – there's not a – like, I don't know anybody who's like, yeah, I love Thomas. So we'll see how that works out. But in this fight, yeah, I'm definitely Thomas. I think I'm team Thomas. And I think Tammy basically – did she tell Thomas before the rose ceremony that, like, she was all in on – or tell Aaron she was all in on Thomas? I think she kind of did, right? Or was it kind of just the rose?
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe it was just the rose.
Because, like, Thomas. They kind of had a conversation – prior to the rose ceremony, and he just kind of got up and walked away from her.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he just walked, was all like, yeah, pissed off. Yeah. So we're still, dude, this is only the second rose ceremony. Isn't that mind blowing?
Crazy.
5 episodes in, we're at second rose ceremony. It's crazy, dude. Crazy.
And by the way, who's the producers telling Taj Wan she can't poop or pee?
Like, I forgot about that part. She's eating spaghetti,
and she's just screaming at the ocean. Like,
I feel like Taj Wan, she's so great, but I feel like she is like a quick temper. Like, I feel like she's got a short fuse. Like, if you fucking, when she's frustrated, she's frustrated and she doesn't hold back. And I, like I said, I've had it where the producers don't tell you can't pee. So I've been there. I know how Taj is feeling. She was just all pissed off, flustered. She was like, I can't pee. I can't poop. But I got the spaghetti. She was like eating that spaghetti with the world just crumbling around her. That was great. So yeah, we're still in this cocktail party, dude. And people are freaking out. Trey leaves. Yeah.
Well, dude. Chase, we got to talk about the jewelry.
Oh, yes, here. The jewelry.
Because where the fuck, like Carl's bringing down 20-year-old Pandora bracelet, charm bracelets. there's no way Chasen bought a 90,000 Cuban link iced out chain. Like, that was fugazi as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on here?
Dude, no shit. Like, so the people that know, producers definitely have, either they have that already there when they get to Paradise, or they'll send out like a courier to go buy things. So I don't know. I don't know if Chasen went up to them and was like, let's fucking give her a necklace. Like, can you go buy me a necklace?
Yeah, that
or
wasn't producers a
were like, you know,
that's
would
something
be funny?
You're going to see Jake Paul wearing, though.
Yeah. I saw that. Like, yeah. Or like, yeah, you, or they were like, producers were like, hey, Chasen, like, we have this necklace. Like, what if you gave it to DeAndre? And he was like, yes, let's do it. You know, let's do it. But damn, yeah, DeAndre's just fucking getting jewelry on the beach. She's getting all these free gifts from all these guys. She's living the dream. And Carl gets pissed. Again,
that's
I don't
the worst
get this
confrontation either. I've ever seen.
Dude,
maybe.
The worst. They're both very bad at talking shit, which is
Captain
fine.
Captain one like, upper pants.
Yeah, Captain one upper pants. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Terrible at shit talking, which is fine. Like, I'm terrible at shit talking too. But it's just the way, like, why are you mad? Of course, he's trying to get a rose, bro. Like, you can't be mad at him for, like, he went on a date with this girl. It went great. Like, you can't be mad at him for, like, going after a rose. So I don't get that at all. It reminds me of Dylan with me. Like when Dylan was just like all pissed. I'm like, well, she hasn't given a rose to anybody yet. Rose is still open. But
was Dylan hawking over you though, like Chasen when Carl was trying to present her with the bracelet?
Yeah. Not
how
that
awkward
bad.
Was that?
That was super awkward. Chasen was just staring at them from like 6 feet away. No, Mr. Dylan was not that bad. I will give him that. He was not that bad.
That's Mr. Aggressive Chasen.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot. And it's just, yeah, their argument was hilarious, dude. And DeAndre's just kind of over it. I feel like she was just like these boys, you know, that kind of thing. She was totally just over that whole.
Yeah, it was
situation.
Like super childish. It was like you're in junior high. Like, I gave her a better gift.
Yeah. You're going to one up me, one upper. Yeah. You want a Captain one upper? And that was just funny.
Yeah. And then that's, that. Yeah. And then we go into I didn't see this coming. Taj and Trey.
Yeah. So me neither, dude. Trey, out of nowhere, in my eyes, dumps Taj. Out of nowhere. And he's like, peace, I'm out. Like, he's like, there's nobody down here for me. He never really even explained himself. Did you feel like he explained himself?
No, not really.
He was just kind of like, I'm not feeling it.
Just checked out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not feeling it. I'm out. So he just straight up fucking grabs his backpack, walks off the beach. And I think Taj is in a bit of a shock, but she's going to, for a minute, she's decided she's going to stick around a little bit, see what else comes down the stairs. But
she
then.
Yeah, she must have really had her eyes and just her heart set on Riley.
Right. I was just going to say that. Riley, dude. Yeah, I think she was really wanted Riley and it didn't work out. And she was still going to stick around until Becca came walking down those stairs. And I think that was the moment when Taj was like, fuck, now we have a bachelorette. Like, I'm out. Like, I'm never going to get a man. And she just decided to peace out. But shout out to Taj. She had a great first fucking 5 episodes.
I'm going to miss her.
Dude, me too. I'm going to miss her on the show. She did a great job this season. I think she was, dude, I think she might have a run, well, maybe, at a future bartender with Wells. Maybe. But she does hate it down there. She yeah, does not like it. Like, she's hot. She's fucking, like, she doesn't
the crabs,
like it.
Crabs, the bugs.
Yeah. So I don't know if she'd actually do it, but I think if they wanted to ever get a girl down there with Wells, I think Taj could make a pretty good bartender. So we'll see.
She's so quick-witted and like her humor is like kind of dry, but it's like
yeah.
funny as hell.
And she has no filter. Like, she doesn't care.
Zero filter.
No, she doesn't care, man. She
does. By the way,
care.
Shout out to her for coming out to the show this past weekend in Denver.
Yeah. Taj, I'm actually might throw up a little video tomorrow of her dancing.
Taj Nato.
Stage,
she was out Taj there Nato. Pouring shots into Maus.
Yeah,
the
it was
stage.
So fun. So you're invited to any show you want. Fuck Paradise, Taj. I'm bummed she went. She deserved better. I'm bummed she went home. But I get it too, because Beck comes down those stairs and she's like, fuck this. Like, you know, like, my guy already freaking went home on his own. I don't get Riley, like, I'm out. So I don't really blame her. And I respect people who leave on their own terms. I respect people who do that. So let's get into Becca then. Let's get into Beck walking down the stairs. First thing I saw was women were fucking shitting themselves. Like, they are freaking out because, like they said, Becca can have any man down there that she wants. She really can. She's got the most followers. she literally can have anybody down there. She's
the queen. And she is awesome.
And she's great. Yeah. So
she's a great person.
These guys were freaking out. Or the girls were freaking out and the guys were like, hell yeah.
Well, the guys are freaking out too.
And literally instantly she's like the bachelorette again. All the guys are pulling her. They all want her rose for the most part. Anyway, the guys are like, not sure. So I'm sure it was very overwhelming at first. But then Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of, we go into the rose ceremony. And
this, it was kind of a shock. I was kind of shocked by some of this tonight. Uh-huh. The roses given out.
And I think the biggest one for me was DeAndre giving it to Ivan out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's basically, I'm done with Ivan. This high school bullshit. Because yeah. I thought that's what, like, Taj would use, like, her rose on Ivan. Like, it's like that friendship rose, like, just stick around or whatever.
Yeah.
So they could both stay there and, you know, still have a shot at making that connection.
Yeah, and I think what didn't get shown, and from what I've heard, is Becca kind of went in on Chasen a little bit down there, and they didn't air any of that, but Becca went in on Chasen and kind of, like, ratted him out to DeAndre about something, and DeAndre, like, that's why DeAndre didn't give the rose to Chasen. We didn't see that part. But yeah, I think I was shocked. I thought she was going to give it to Chasen, but she gives it to Ivan, saves Ivan, because he had no rose, I don't think, from anybody.
No.
So she saves Ivan.
Yeah, because before then, that, like, I was, yeah, because, yeah, I'm still kind of bummed about the Jasenia Ivan.
Yeah, Chris and Jasenia hit it off, man, and they seem very strong right now, very strong.
Then obviously Tammy's jumps to Thomas.
And that leaves Becca with really the only rose left that's, like, up for grabs.
Well, Mari's rose was up for grabs at that point and gave it to James. I guess
that's true, because Demi, yeah, that's true. Demi gave it to Kenny. I like James. Can we talk about how James is not getting any screen time? Like, this dude is great, I think. I think he's a good dude, and he's not getting any screen time. So that's a real bummer. I think maybe we'll get some in the future, but yeah, he's gotten zero so far. But yeah, that's, yeah, fucking, so Beck has the last up for grab rose, and she picks Ivan, or picks Aaron. And I'm not shocked by that. I thought they had a good conversation. I thought they're actually pretty cute together.
Obviously Becca, Aaron was pretty open. He's like, I've crushed on this girl for years.
Yeah, he was very open. So yeah, that's, I guess, a new couple we'll have to keep our eye on. So we had Connor go home. We had, who else? Connor, Carl.
And Chasen.
Chasen all went home. So
it's
three.
It's okay, because ABC still paid the actress for Connor, so he's okay.
He's all right. He'll be all right. So yeah, they all got sent home. We kind of go into the next day, and
gonna actually really happy not to see that fucking guy with the guitar anymore either. Like,
I feel bad for that man, honestly. I love the, I don't mind the guitar and him singing. I think it's like his thing, but it just, he was sad a lot. He was very sad all the time. But like, I thought his singing was kind of
sure
cool.
He's just an awesome guy, though.
Yeah, I think he seems like a sweet dude, you know, who just kind of got, which he stood no chance, dude. Marissa and Riley are like great together. So that man stood no chance at all.
No, he's not a freak like that.
he ain't got swag. He tried with that outfit, but he ain't got the swag that Riley has.
That was horrible, by the way. I know you're probably a massive fan of it. I loved it. You didn't like
the, outfit, bro. I fucking loved it. Do you, boo. Do you, Connor?
I loved Wells. Is like, you look like half inmate, half I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Actually, everybody on the beach liked it too. I thought it was cool. But anyway, yeah. So those two go home. We go into the next day. What happens? I guess.
Enter Tia.
Tia. That's the next thing. Tia enters. Mm-hmm. I'm not shocked that she was going down, but I'm shocked when she got down. I thought she'd be down there. I guess it is only the second rose ceremony, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
They've literally been down there like 5 days. That's what's crazy. Because
we did kind of hear like,
yeah,
that we knew her, Tia, Kendall, and
Becca. Yeah.
Becca were coming down together.
We knew everybody down there knew that those three were coming. Maybe not everybody, but most people knew that those three were coming down at some point.
I think it's always funny, like when you see Ivan, like when Tia hits the beach. And Ivan's like, who is that?
I know.
I
bet there's some people that didn't know who Tia was.
Don't watch the show.
Yeah.
So
I bet there were some people that did not know who Tia was, for sure. Yeah. But she's great. We're big fans of Tia. We love Tia.
Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't Tia. That's my bad. He did that when Kendall came down at the end of the show.
Yeah,
that's my
but
fault.
I think somebody else said who's Tia too, though. I think somebody did. But yeah, Tia's great. We're big fans of Tia. She pulls.
She's the best.
Yeah, she pulls a few people, but the biggest one she pulls is Kenny. And that's totally her type. Tattoos, fucking jacked, totally her type. So she takes him on the date, and Demi is just pissed. Demi is not happy. I thought she handled it well with the conversation with Kenny when she was like, listen, I don't fucking want you to go, but like, I'm not going to stop you from going, you know? And then he goes anyway. let's just talk about the date, and then we can talk about what was happening. But this date was a very strange one to me. This is one date where they usually recycle dates.
A lot happened in between.
I know. We'll go back to that. We'll go back to that. But let's get into the whole date. Let's not jump around. So They recycle dates all the time, guys. The go-kart dates, the ziplining dates, they recycle dates all the time. I don't think I've ever seen this date in paradise. This is nude beach volleyball. And the fact that Tia and Kenny both get nude, shout out to these two. That takes some balls. National television.
Doesn't surprise me with Kenny. He's ready to go. No, but it surprises me with Tia. Tia, yes.
It surprised me with Tia. She is very religious, and she kept talking about her family watching.
Very conservative.
Very conservative. And she's fucking topless running around on national television. Like, holy shit. I was shocked by that. But good on her. She was a good sport.
I had never heard a woman's bits be referred to as a China pot. That was the first time I've heard that.
There were some really good one-liners throughout this date for sure. And the other three, like, where do they get these other three people? Like, where do the producers find these people? Like, they're just...
Is that a thing down there?
Dude, I don't know. Like, this is like new volleyball tournaments just happening down there.
They have leagues every Tuesday night.
Yeah, and they... I don't know. That was a very weird thing to me. But they're good sports. They played along. But I want to go into their conversation, too, that they had later, because I thought this was a pretty funny conversation, because I agree with Tia. I agree with Tia. Tia's funny as hell, and she was like, wait a minute. You went to the Boom Boom Room with Demi? Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And she's like, fuck, she's going to murder me in my sleep.
Like, it was funny, like, too, because Kenny was like, you've never been to the Boom Boom Room? She's like, no. I was with a virgin.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I was with Colton. It's a virgin. No.
There were some good Colton jabs tonight, too, by the way.
There were a few of them. Yeah, ABC's not hiding their Colton jabs. No. But damn, let's talk, like... She's right. Like, I agree. If you fuck in paradise, you're in a relationship. Like, I don't think you can go around fucking a bunch of girls on that beach. So, like, in my opinion, Kenny going on that date was a little sketch after literally the night before sleeping with Demi.
Like, I think that's what threw Demi into, like, shock. Because she asked him, she was like, did you not kind of forget about what happened last night?
Like, literally.
Before
like,
he left.
Yeah. Can you imagine, dude, if a girl did what Kenny did, like, she would be destroyed. If a girl fucked a guy and then went on a date with another guy the next day, she'd be so screwed. So I get why Tia was, I think that might ruin it for Tia. I think Tia's like, she still kissed him after the conversation, but I think Tia's kind of like, I'm fucking out because, you can't fuck a girl and then go on a date with me.
Tia, I mean, knowing Tia, she ain't playing that shit.
No, she's like, okay, good to know. And she could tell instantly it was like, what the fuck are you doing here, dude? Like, but you could tell she just changed. They did kiss. They did, but that could have kissed before.
You got to do that. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a pretty funny conversation. Tia's like, God dang it. Like, I could tell she was kind of into him. She's like, God dang it. Like, you fucked Demi? Really? Shit. So I think that not going to happen. I don't think Tia and Kenny are going to happen. But yes, a lot happened while they were on the date. The first thing, let's get into Noah and Abigail, dude. I want to talk about this Noah and Abigail conversation. It's weird because at the beginning of the season, Abigail kind of talked about how, like, she wants to move slow. And she kind of friends guys a little bit and like all this stuff. And Noah was like, wait a minute, like, it's paradise. You can't really move slow, like kind of that kind of thing. But then all of a sudden, Abigail's kind of freaking out because she's like, we're moving too slow. We're moving, like, we're not even close to where these other couples are. Now, granted, we're 5 days in at this point, guys, maybe six. So it's I get it both ways. Like, I get her worry, why she's worried and why she wants to sit down with Noah, but at the same time, you kind of brought this on yourself.
Yeah, because she used the words like, it feels like Noah's just here to chill. But it's like, because we haven't seen any of them this whole season, really, since that first episode.
Since their date.
It's like, are they having any conversations? Like, do they spend time? Are they spending time together and they're just, ABC's not showing it?
It's a great question. Or are they hanging out but not having
the real conversation?
Exactly. Not having good conversations about their relationship, about the future, and they're just literally like, look at the sky, or like, how about that crab? You know what I mean? Like, could be those conversations.
They're clearly on different pages here. And like she said, she noticed it right when she brought up the friend kind of zone to Noah. Noah just instantly checked out.
Yeah. So I don't, like I said, I don't necessarily blame Abigail for wanting and needing to talk to Noah, but I don't think Noah needed to necessarily all of a sudden go and like fucking contemplate for 30 minutes by the ocean. Like, I don't think it was that big of a deal. I think he just needs, I mean, I guess he just needs to decide if it's Abigail or not.
They just need to have that coming to Jesus moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit or get off the pot, right? Like,
yeah, shit or get off the pot. Are you my guy? Are you my girl? If so, let's do this. If not, don't waste your time.
Because I love Abigail. Like, I want to, it's so sad to see her cry.
I know, it was so sad. And I loved how all the girls were like consoling her. And there's an example of like,
she's so hard on herself.
Yeah, she was really hard on herself. I thought she was like way too hard on herself. But there was a good example of like, everybody loves Abigail. I think that says a lot about Abigail. Like every girl, every guy down there are friends with Abigail. So like, you look at it both ways with Thomas, you know, it's kind of like that. But with Abigail, all the girls like hugging her and like trying to like, I don't know, like pull her up, you know, out of her depression and, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. So everybody loves Abigail. We love Abigail. So hopefully, I think that'll be a big storyline come next week.
And by the way, just because we did, this scared me for a minute. Because we go back to saying like how Mari confided in Demi. And while Abigail's sitting there on the daybed talking with the girls, and then Demi's sitting there listening, I'm like, oh, shit, don't do it, Abigail. Noah, you're next.
Can you imagine if Demi would have swooped fucking Noah? Oh, my God, that would have been wild.
They just kept, like, showing, like, Abigail talking, then Demi sitting there on her knees and, like, with that, just that evil look she has. Like,
dude, that would have been wild. Oh, my God, Demi, Jesus. Thank God she didn't. Well, she hasn't yet.
Well, I guess we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And then really the only other thing that happened was it Serena and Joe, right?
It was kind of like that was so cute. But she was just jabbing at him.
And Joe can take that. Like Joe's pretty funny. And Serena, let me just say this. Serena's comedic timing, flawless. Her comedic timing is amazing. Like the way she like answers those questions. And then she's like, yeah, Brad Pitt and you know, Brad Pitt looks 35. You guys look hot. The same. And Joe's like, whoa. And he's like, yeah, you're right. He's way hotter. Like just like little jabs like that. Like they're great together. I really like them together.
I'd be making out with a guy named Joe. Your middle name's Anthony. I like Anthony better.
Yeah. Chris, I mean, Joe was literally like pissed. Joe was like, what? It's the most classic name out there. It's in every language. Like he's trying to like defend his name. Yeah. That was pretty
it's
funny.
It's Jose.
Yeah, it's Jose. He was trying to defend his own name so much. But they're great together. But anytime you have this relationship that you're very confident in, blah, 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 and you're telling everybody the camera, you're like, yeah, nothing will break us apart.
It's in a good day for the grocer.
Yeah, good day for the grocer.
Nothing's going to come between us.
Never get content in paradise. In power walks, Kendall. She's fucking sprinting.
She is walks. Fierce.
You could tell some of the guys stood up to like give her a hug and introduce themselves. And she's just like, do you know where Joe is? And they're like, he's over there on the daybed. It was just like, okay, I guess we know who she's here
it
for.
It reminded me of Ange walking down the aisle with Clay in the audience.
Just that fucking side eye. Yeah. Oh, shit. The best picture ever taken in paradise.
Hey, butthead.
Hey, butthead. Oh, and you just know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Joe knew. He had to know Kendall was going down. This isn't some shock. I don't think he knew when. I don't think maybe by then he was like, oh, maybe me and Serena are so close that Kendall won't walk down. Joe knew Kendall was coming down, but he still was like, you could tell in his face, he was like, oh, fuck me. Like, oh, we're fucked. Like, grinning through his teeth, dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And that's kind of how it ended.
It ended with looks like it still gets pretty good.
Yeah.
Piper.
Dude, Brendan's shocking. Fucked. Dude, yeah, exactly. Shocked. Brendan's fucked, dude. Brendan is in trouble, man. Just from the preview, yeah, it looks like obviously this Kendall and Joe thing is going to get blown up and, you know, whatever. It's going to take up a full episode. But Piper coming down, man, and Natasha looks like she wants to kill Brendan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be bad for Brendan, man. I feel for Brendan. Been there, brother. Yeah, I feel bad for that man. So it's going to be interesting what happens there. But yeah, the next two episodes next week look pretty wild, man. Yeah, I guess that's kind of how it ends. So we'll see you guys next week. But don't leave yet, guys. We have an awesome conversation with George Burge coming up. We talk about how this incredible story of how his new song really started and blew up on TikTok and how we got a ton of great advice from a superstar country music artist out there. So don't go anywhere, guys. Here's our conversation with George Burge behind the rose. Just thought you should know it ain't all B.B. truck. Girls in them tight jeans, small town riding around. Girl, I hope you're missing me. Thanks for coming on, George.
What's up, guys? Glad to be here.
Absolutely, man.
A long time. George, Eddie, and I go way back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel honored, man. I've heard murmurs of Behind the Rose for years now, so I kind of feel like I'm in rare air getting to join you guys. It feels pretty good.
Also, George was my fashion consultant at one time, and remember when you gave me all your cool jewelry, and I put it on, we went out, and addressed every female as "Hey girl" for the entire night.
It's funny. That was kind of the game plan, but then, you know, you didn't even have to say anything. They just flocked to you once they saw the way you looked out there.
I noticed when you reached up and stroked your chin that you're wearing some, you know, some of those bracelets that make you so sexy. So
we went to some high class establishments, such as, I believe, Twin Peaks and PT's.
Oh, yeah. It was a theme night. Twin Peak, then PT. It was a fun night. And George is like, shh, I got a good record deal now.
He's got a record deal now, guys.
Listen, you can't take the guy out of the country, man. I'm not going to stop now.
It was a fun time. And to address the elephant in the room, the more fun guy of Waterloo Revival was George. And so
let's just get into this. What happened here with Waterloo and Cody?
Man, so Cody, honestly, he's still one of my best friends, a great dude. But like a lot of us did in the shutdown last year, I kind of just took a step back and looked at my life and just kind of tried to figure out, you know, what I was happy with and what I wasn't happy with. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people when you get to a record label that have an opinion on what you should look like and what you should sound like and the music that you should be putting out. And I was just kind of being guided in a direction that I wasn't really totally fulfilled with. And I'd started having some success writing songs for other folks. Jason Aldean had reached out and put one of my whole songs on hold. Keith Urban had put one of my songs on hold. Clay Walker singled one of my songs to radio. And so I started finding success on the songwriting side. And I just kind of felt like Waterloo had come close to breaking several times and never really quite punched through. It was just time to take a breath and try something new. So I had kind of found a direction of music that I loved that I was writing for other people. And selfishly, I wanted to write some for myself. And that kind of just propelled me to chase the solo artist dream. And it was a tough conversation to have with Cody. We've been buddies since sixth grade, grew up playing dive bars in Austin and moved to Nashville together and chased his dream together. But he was super understanding. And, you know, he's out there writing songs and playing some guitar for some other folks too. Definitely landed on his feet and we still talk a bunch. So, you know, that gives me peace knowing that we can still be close and that I can have the opportunity to chase this solo thing. And, you know, sometimes like some of the scariest jumps are the most gratifying. You know, I dreamed my whole life about having a record deal. So asking out of that record deal was pretty terrifying for me, especially not knowing what was next. But I was able to stumble into a new deal and a new song on the radio. And, you know, knock on wood, it's taken off faster than anything I've ever done. So I guess you got to jump to see if you can fly. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm not sure if I got wings or not, but I'm figuring it out.
Oh, man, you're doing something right.
Well, you got beer, and trucks.
Yeah,
that's it, man. We like all those things, right?
Yeah. So let's get into that. Because like you said, you know, you kind of went out of your own. You took the risk. And it's worked out thus far. But let's talk a little bit about beer, truck, because that it's actually surprising how many people we have on this podcast who get started going viral. Like, it's crazy how often that happens now, man. It's wild. We've had multiple people. That's kind of what happened here with this song, right?
Yeah, it's the most unbelievable story you've ever heard. It's too wild to be made up. But basically, I had become really good friends with Clay Walker over the last year. And he invited me to his house down in Texas to work on his new record. And that was in December. And I had kind of told him where I was at, you know, that I'd asked out of my deal and that I was kind of figuring out what was next and that I was really focused on writing and that I really wasn't sure if I was going to do the artist thing or not. That I was debating on whether or not I was going to hang it up or take another swing. And he was like, dude, I'll tell you what you need to do. And, you know, it's freaking Clay Walker, man. I'm expecting like some super profound advice. And he's like, you need to put your songs on TikTok. I was like, oh, wow. Thank you, man. That's life-changing advice there. But I mean, sure enough, that night I went on and I clicked the country music hashtag just because, you know, that's the shit I listen to. And the first thing that came up was this chick and she was like, country music ain't nothing but beer, truck, and girls in tight jeans.
Beer, truck, girls in tight jeans. Beer, truck, America. Ooh.
And I was like, well, yeah. I was like, yeah, I like all those things. But I mean, I kind of took it as a challenge. I was like, you know, I was in a pretty cool spot creatively at the time. I was like, why don't I take this as a challenge and show her that I'll take those words and write a hit song out of it. And so I sat down for like 30 minutes before dinner that night and I just wrote the chorus. And, you know, for me, the best songs tend to come out quick, you know, off the cuff. You can sit there and polish a turd all day, but the ones that are really good are usually inspired and come out quick. And so I wrote that chorus in like 30 minutes and I had Clay's social media manager show me how to post it on TikTok because I'd never posted before. I think I had 6 followers. I didn't use the Waterloo name. I didn't have like a blue check mark or anything like that. And we went to dinner and like 3 hours later, I came back from dinner and that 6 followers had turned into 20,000 followers. And I'm like, Clay, you're a freaking genius, man. Like this TikTok thing is it. And we were all toasting and drinking beer and everything. And I kind of thought that that was like the life of it. And I was content with that. You know, it was a fun little deal. But over the course of the next week, it went on to do millions and millions of views. And I got 100,000 followers in a week. There were just like this massive contingency of people saying that I needed to finish the song. And so I was like, well, shit, if I'm going to finish this song, I want to write something that I'm proud of if I'm going to put a full song out there. And so I sat down in Nashville when I got home and I spent a day just like trying to create the storyline of like the dynamic between the country and the city and these two fictional characters that like fell in love and still thought about each other, but were in different places. And pretty wild that that was all inspired by Beer Truck Truck. But I created this whole storyline around it. And I recorded a demo with one of my best friends, Jaron Boyer, who's a big hit songwriter in town. He was like, dude, just come over to the house and we'll just lay it down, you and me. And so we laid down a demo in the studio and put it out that day. And that's when it just like really, really blew up and took off. And the numbers were so insane that basically every record label in Nashville started blowing up my phone. That was a really cool feeling. And the last thing I expected from signing up on TikTok. Just thought you should know.
It's surprising how many people don't use that tool more often. Like Clay Walker said, like it's such a good tool. So many people on it. Will you be releasing more music on TikTok now instead of like, you know, screw the radio. We're just going TikTok.
It's crazy. And, you know, like he obviously took me by surprise when he said that at first, but then he kind of went on to explain that like you could play 2 years of shows and not get in front of a million people. But if you post something on TikTok that goes, you get in front of a million people in a day. And when you start thinking about it that way, like the biggest struggle that all of us have in Nashville is just getting ears on your music. You know, like there's so many talented people here that are writing hit songs every day that, you know, just go by the wayside because they don't get the right eyes or ears on them. And so it's a platform that like you can get in front of people instantly and get feedback, whether it connects or not. I would have never guessed that like Beer Truck Truck was something that so many people would have connected on. And I probably would have been scared to release it as a single. If I was just in my own head, but I was able to put it on that platform and get just instant feedback and thousands of comments and see how many people related to the story and see how many people were listening to it in their car. And then, you know, it allows people to use the sound. And so you can click the sound of the song and see how people are using it to make their videos. And you see people windows down driving or out there on their ranch or dancing or whatever. And it's just like instant feedback. Hey, this connects. I almost look at it as a new form of A&R, you know, as a new form of trial to see, like, does this song hold up?
Also, another cool story from this is you made that lady who originally wrote that song like a co-write, didn't you?
I did. I just felt like, you know, she inspired the song, obviously. And I did take her hook and use it off the top. So I wanted to make sure she was credited for that. So I reached out to her like the day it went viral. I was like, hey, I know this is probably the most random message you've ever got, but I took your joke and I turned it into a song and I'd love to credit you as a songwriter. So I had to walk her through like signing up and starting a publishing company and, you know, creating an ASCAP.
So she will be seeing some nice royalties.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah.
The thing that's amazing is it started out as such a joke. And I mean, she was just throwing it on and it's a good song once you finished it. It's really, it's hooky and it stays in your head and it's a great love story song.
Yeah, that was so gratifying.
You know, it's going to be a huge hit and she's going to be getting royalty checks for 20 years now.
I hope it changes both of our lives. Yeah, that was when I first put it out. I was, you know, she was kind of hammering country music at first. I mean, lightheartedly and rightfully so. but I was anxious to see like whether she would take it as a compliment or, you know, be offended by it. And she was super cool. She actually like geeked out. She loved the song. Turns out she grew up listening to country music and had kind of gotten away from it. And so she was like, this brings me back to like my childhood and I loved it. And I come to find out that she's actually like an elementary school music teacher in North Carolina. So it was like, dude, every part of the story almost just seemed faded. It was so cool how it all came together. And now like we just did NPR, All Things Considered together last week. We doing Billboard, Rolling Stone, all this stuff. And she's like, what planet am I on? They all of a sudden I got thrown into all this stuff.
And all from Clay Walker, who is an old man and probably shouldn't know how to use TikTok anyway.
Yeah, right.
I mean, of all the new artists that could have helped you out, you go dig up Clay Walker.
He's a sharp guy, man. He knows how to connect with the people, and I will be forever grateful that he told me that. Because I mean, I'll be honest, like most of it, I thought TikTok was kind of relegated for like twerking and pranks, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of thought that was like the world that existed there. I come to find out that there's a lot more below the surface there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like Blake said, we've had a lot of guests on that have got recognized on TikTok. And that, yeah, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unreal. And it's just, you know, there's so many people on there that are engaged all the time. You know, it kind of started as a younger demographic on there, but, you know, now it spans the full spectrum. I mean, mm-hmm. people in their 40s, 50s, 60s on there. And then, you know, there's, you know, teenagers and college kids and everything. And so you get the full spectrum, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. When you actually broke it down like you did, and you're like, you can literally get in front of a million people in a couple hours. Compared to like, you know, a couple thousand in Nashville or whatever it is, you know? So it's kind of crazy to think about when you break it down like that. I'm like, damn, I need to write a song. I need to go on TikTok. Like, damn, that's crazy, man.
It's so, I mean, like last night I opened for Jake Owen and I played in front of 2,500 people and I felt like electric, right? Like 2,500 people. That's a sick crowd. Everybody's like hands in the air. We're having a party. But then you think about that, like if I post on TikTok and a video gets 2,500 views, I'm like, oh, that did shitty.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's like, it's crazy, man.
A waste of my fucking time.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, now are you more prominent on TikTok now? Like, are you uploading more, you know, more videos, not necessarily even music, but do you upload more videos now because of your following?
Yeah, I do. It's hard, you know, because I kind of branded myself as a songwriter on there. And so I want to deliver like quality content every time I do. But also once you sign a record deal, then you also have to, you know, you can't just like spew songs out there anymore. And so I've done a lot more of the storytelling on like how the song came together and kind of featured some of my outside cuts that I've got going on. But I can't upload everything I'm writing just because, you know, once everybody's got skin in the game, it's a little bit slower, more deliberate process to make sure that every song has its day in the sun.
Right.
But I'm definitely still using it and engaging with people. And, you know, I like to use it to find new, cool young songwriters to get inspired by on there too. I'll go on and just comment on people playing a song on their basement if I find something cool. And I mean, for me, it's fun. It's like a discovery tool. And, you know, I remember the first time Cole Swindell commented on one of my Instagram videos, I felt like I was a celebrity. And so I want to be like doing that to other people too, making them feel cool to see like a blue check mark comment on their videos and stuff like that. And so it's, you know, there's all kinds of ways to jump on it, but definitely as I start to release new music, I actually teased a new song that'll be coming probably later in the year last week on there. And got some really cool feedback. So we are going to be putting stuff on there. And some breaking news on the Behind the Rose podcast. I've got a song coming out with Nelly. So I'll make sure and I hammer that on TikTok as soon as it comes out too.
There you go.
Shit, man. Let's go.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And that's someone somewhere, right?
Yep. That's it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at this guy. Look how far he's come from Waterloo Revival. Holy shit.
Dude, I'm just looking at Clay Walker and Nelly. I mean, you're going to do something with Willie soon? And then maybe Metallica.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure is there going to be a Drake coming out soon?
Like, shoot, I would die happy, man.
I mean, everyone's doing something with Diplo too, so.
The Nelly thing is cool just because, like, he really does have a great respect for country music. And, you know, obviously, it's inherently hip hop what he does. but he grew up with kind of country roots, like family, barbecue, like, you know, just ties to the country genre. And so he's not calling it a country record. He's calling it a country inspired record. And when the label reached out to me asking me to jump on this record, obviously the first thing I thought of was, yeah, this is an incredible opportunity. It's a huge artist. I'm so humbled that he would even ask me. But my second thought is like, okay, I'm taking a step out as a brand new solo artist. I'm kind of putting my flag in the ground, building my brand. I'm trying to push towards a more country sound because that's what I like to create. And so I don't want to put out a single and then a month later put out, you know, some wild hip hop song that is totally off base for me. And so I was a little bit nervous about it. And then I got the song that they asked me to feature on it. And dude, it was so cool. It was Hardy wrote it. Hardy's writing everything for everybody in Nashville. He's unreal. And man, it just kind of had like that old school, like almost that Dilemma feel, that song he did way back when with Kelly Rowland. So it almost felt like a little more laid back, a little more country. And right in my wheelhouse. So I don't know who picked me for that song, but I'm very thankful for it. And it felt honest to the brand that I'm trying to create right now. So I'm super excited for that to come out.
Any shows you got kind of coming up and everything?
Yeah. So I am out the rest of the year. I just signed with a new agent and they're hammering my schedule right now. Looks like we're doing some Dustin Lynch dates. Looks like we're doing some Brantley Gilbert dates, which both of those guys insane to be able to, you know, get out there with. And I mean, that's the thing in country music, man, is like, nobody gets there without the endorsement of somebody bigger or a, you know, a hand up. And so, you know, being out with Jake last week and getting to go out with those guys here the rest of the year is like, I get to borrow their fans for the night and, you know,
right.
Them having me out there is an endorsement that like, hey, this guy is worth shit. You know, he's got something that's worth your time. Those are looks that I've never gotten before in the past. And so to have these guys invite me out and give me that opportunity is really special. And I mean, shit, it's moving the needle for me in a big way. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's super cool, man. Yeah. Well, congrats, man. I mean, you keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing something right. It's great, man. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I just thought you would quit music and we're going out for the PGA Tour.
It's still in the back of my mind. Yeah.
For those listening, George is a hell of a golfer.
Dude, so that's my biggest addiction is golf. And, you know, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I've recently become really good friends with John Daly. And so we've been playing a lot of golf lately and he's been teaching me some party tricks. He calls Michelob Ultras, he calls them Arkansas mineral water. And so the first time I played with him, he goes, toss me one of them Arkansas mineral water. So I toss him one out of the cooler. He shotguns it, puts it on the ground, puts a golf ball on top of it and hits it 300 yards down the middle of the fairway. And he says, welcome, earthlings. And I was like, damn, that was the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
That
so
is
I've been working
story.
On that.
Welcome, earthling. That's amazing.
That could be a nice little TikTok video.
Oh my God, man. That is so great. I'm jealous of that, man. I'm jealous of that friendship.
There's right so there. Many classic daily stories.
Yeah. Man. Oh, so great. Oh, well, that's awesome, man. I mean, I think you made the right decision. Stick with music, man. Stick with music.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, everybody go check out his new single coming out next week. And where can people find you on like TikTok and Instagram and all that? What's your at, if you will?
Yeah, so it's just at George Birge, B-I-R-G-E, on TikTok. There was already somebody pretending to be me, so we got a George Birge official on TikTok is where you got to find me, look for the blue check mark. But yeah, anywhere you listen to music, you can find it. The new single, Beer, Beer, Truck, Truck, is out everywhere right now. We also went and cut 5 more songs that are hopefully coming at the end of the year here. So excited for everybody to dive into those. And then shit, this Nelly coming is going to be pretty special too. So a lot of good stuff coming.
Nelly's great. Cause we're actually going out to Austin for a music festival next month. And Nelly's going to be there, be on the list. Cause I'm DJing and he's going to be there. So we'll have to chat it up.
He puts on a show, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen him. So I'm pumped. I've actually never seen him.
The guy's still shredded too. Like eight pack, like veins everywhere. It's like, golly, man.
Yeah. He does have a lot of those country roots. Cause he's on tour with Blanco and Jimmy too coming out.
Yeah. It's dude, it's fun to see the rest of the world finding an appreciation for the country genre, man. It's almost like we're the cool kid in school now, you know. It's like everybody's kind of coming over to the country world. And I saw that a bunch on TikTok too, you know. A lot of those comments were, I didn't listen to country before, but now I'm giving it a chance and I love it. And, you know, seeing new people come to the genre is like, is everything we can ask for. So that's what we're out there just, you know, pounding pavement, trying to make country as cool as it can be and bring as many people to the genre as we can. But I mean, when you look at ticket sales and you look at festivals and you look at people coming out in force and supporting live music, I think country is at the forefront of that. So it's a pretty exciting time to be in country music. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw something the other day that it was a TikTok video, and it was somebody guy like, the only reason you don't like country is because you're told not to when you were a kid, like go out and listen to it and you're going to love it, you know, because it was like not cool back then, you know, to like country. So it's pretty cool what's happening right now for sure.
100%. It's like people give it a chance and they're like, dang, you know,
yeah,
beers and trucks and girls in tight jeans is pretty cool.
Oh, amen, man. Amen. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to have you on again at some point for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm honored. I've been watching you guys from afar for a minute. So thank you guys for having me, and hopefully I didn't vomit for y'all.
That's great, man. Oh, no. That's great.
See you guys. Thank you.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.